Welcome back to the Injury Pros Podcast, where we go beyond the billboards and show you what it takes to win the tough injury cases. I'm attorney Mike Sale, and today's focus is winning the toughest cases and what it looks like from day one. Joining me today is Todd Saylor, our newest trial attorney here at Cordisco & Sale, and he's seen his share of tough cases, so let's jump right into it. Todd, you've been here now for several months, and you've been handling a lot of cases here, and you've had some tougher cases, some middle cases, maybe some easier cases, but we're here today to talk about the tough cases. And, you know, you've been practicing now for how many years?
About 25 almost.
25 years, so you know what a tough case is, right?
Sure, I've had plenty of them.
So, you know, tell us what your definition of a tough case is.
Well, as you know, Mike, you have a couple of elements of a case. You have liability or who's at fault, and then you have damages and whether those damages were caused by someone's carelessness or, you know, someone's actions. So you can have a problem anywhere along the way. Liability can be disputed.
You know, so liability is mean who's at fault, right?
Who's at fault, right, yeah.
Okay, and how do you determine, just for our new viewers, how do you determine in a case who's at fault?
Well, I mean, some cases it's easy, right? If somebody stopped and somebody runs into the back of them, well, that's 100% fault on the person that ran into the back of the car. But it's not always that easy, and often it's not that easy. You know, let's say we have both drivers, say they entered the intersection on a green light, right? Well, what's a jury going to believe? Who is the jury going to believe? And then it comes into your lawyering skills to sort during depositions to kind of, it all comes down to the credibility of the people, right? So you have to ask questions where you can try to show that the other side isn't being believable. And there are certain tricks we use to do that, as you know.
Okay, so are you only taking a case on if you think you can prove that your client was not at fault?
No, not always. I think if you're only taking 100% liability on the other side's cases, you're not really a true lawyer. You need to, you know, people need help that, you know, in the harder cases also.
So, yeah, as you know, here at Cordisco & Sale, sometimes we take the tough cases, right?
Right.
And we do what it takes because a lot of times our clients are so injured that this is their life and this is their only chance to recover.
That's right. Sometimes people are very badly injured, need help, and sometimes they can't find other people to help them. I just finished a trial in such a case where the woman couldn't find anybody to help her. So I decided to give it a try and help the woman.
All right, and you fought that case all the way to trial?
Fought it all the way to trial, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So we mentioned about liability and who's
right.
at fault. Now, tell us about, like, the injury side or the medical side. What makes a tough injury case?
Well, as we all know, as we get older, we start to have aches and pains, and we may have injuries as we go along the way. So especially neck and back, you know, our bodies don't seem to be developed very well or designed well for necks and backs with all the sitting we do and different things. So usually once somebody's a little older, they're going to have a history of neck and back pain at some point. And, you know, a difficult case could be not only do they have neck or back pain in the past or, let's say, a concussion in the past, but they may have been treating for a neck or back problem up until an incident happens, but now it's a lot worse, right? Now they're where they could manage it before, now they are having trouble working. They're having trouble doing their activities. They're taking care of their kids, whatever it may be. And, you know, you can get we have good doctors to help us out with those cases. But sometimes the injury doesn't show up on, let's say, an MRI scan or an X-ray or something. So you really got to get into, well, how is their life affected? How is it different from before this collision? What could they do to after the collision? And often it depends on using people that are in their lives to say, yeah, I used to go for walks all the time with so-and-so. Now I don't see her because she got into this accident and her back hurts too much to go for these walks with me. So that's how you can support the case.
That reminds me of like a traumatic brain injury we call a TBI, right?
Right.
They're known as the invisible injuries most of the time.
Right.
I would say like 90 to 95% of our clients, when they have traumatic brain injuries, bad concussions, for example, the MRIs or the CAT scans or X-rays obviously don't show an injury. So you're basically relying on the rest of the case, you know, unlike a broken arm or a fractured skull or a broken back. We don't have any scans here. We don't have any pictures to show before and after or just after or something that's broken. Right. So you were talking about going into, like, telling the story about before and after. Right. What kind of things or what kind of people do you use to tell the before and after for a client?
Right. You're absolutely right. That's a perfect example. Some people call it the invisible injury because you can't see it. A jury can't see it. You can't show it on an X-ray, like a broken bone. So you'd want to show... family members or people that are in their lives that can, you know, come up, that can support the case with some examples. Like, you know, she'll be on the way to take us someplace and forget where she's going. Or they'll start food start some water or something to boil on the burner and leave the kitchen and forget about it. You know, those are certain examples that you can sort of show that, and before these things weren't happening. Now after... it's, you know, stark divider from before and after a collision, where after all these things are happening.
A lot of attorneys we find, and frankly, early in our careers, you know, we focused on just the injuries and, you know, what is a specific injury worth.
Right.
And adjusters kind of do that because they have, you know, computer systems like Colossus and other programs that just value the injuries.
Right.
But later, and more importantly, you know, when someone's looking at a case, you have to look at the whole person. How has that injury affected the life of that person? Because that's where the impact occurs, right?
You're absolutely right, and I found that as I've gone on in my career also. It's not as regimented as, say, an insurance adjuster wants to make it. Well, this is it a herniated disc caused by this, or is it not? Or, you know, it's really the effect on a person's life that's important, right? No matter what you call the injury, isn't the important thing how they were functioning before and having a great life, a life that they loved, to after now they're limited and they can't do the things they enjoy. They can't run around with their kids. They can't play the sports that they like to do, or they can't work sometimes.
Yeah, that seems to be the real human damages. And looking at from a client's perspective or from outside of a lawyer's perspective or an insurance company's perspective, you know, it's the life that has been taken. It's the quality of life that's been diminished.
Right.
It's not just looking and plugging in a certain type of injury to a computer system. And we found out here at Quidus Go and Sale, even in your past experience, that, you know, trying to settle a case pre-litigation, before you file a lawsuit, the insurance companies and the adjusters don't really consider this impact of life very much, do they?
No, they don't really. And in fact, like I was saying before, I like to use people in their lives to show the difference. And when I started doing that, identifying people to do that, I've had some defense attorneys say, you know, I don't see many people doing that. That's really a smart thing to do, because most people don't do that. They're just focused on what the injury is, and they think that has some kind of value. But if they're doing that, they're missing the whole boat. I mean, the real value is how their life has been affected and damaged from some collision.
And we found here, at least I found with managing Quidus Go and Sale, is that the cases that we take into litigation and we fight, and the insurance company through depositions actually gets to hear the client's story, and we get expert reports documenting the client's impact on life and their restrictions, we found that we get at least 50% more than we've offered than we got pre-litigation.
Right.
So that's why we're kind of trying to gear our firm to be more of a litigation firm. If that case doesn't settle pre-lit for what we think it's worth, we have our team of attorneys that are ready to jump in, and you're an integral part of that team now.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, and I think that's absolutely right. I think the insurance company doesn't really know that you're serious until you put a case into litigation, you work it up, and they know you're willing and ready to try the case. And if they don't come up with a fair offer for you, they know that you're going to take it the distance. I think when you do that, you're going to get the best offers. They're never going to give you the best offer pre-litigation. In fact, I think they put adjusters on the case just to lowball you until you file a complaint and file a lawsuit.
So what I heard, and I don't disbelieve it, is that every insurance company has a file on each lawyer and each law firm.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. And they're keeping track of everything you do, what your initial demand was, what your settlement was, whether you settle the case right away or you take it right to the last day before you have to file the lawsuit. Whether you file the lawsuit and how far you work it up, or do you settle at the end of discovery, which is a portion of the case. So they're tracking us. So what are the things you do in your career to help push that envelope so the insurance companies know that you mean business and Cordisco and Sale means business?
I think an important thing, and maybe this goes in life generally, is you do what you say, right? If you say you're not going to accept something, well, then you have to stick to it. You can't, you know, right before you have to file a complaint, say, oh, okay, well, can you do this? Maybe, you know, a few thousand more than that. If you start doing that, you're right. They're multi-billion dollar companies, and they have a bunch of people working for them, and some of them are getting data. That's what they do. They gather data on everything.
Now they have AI to analyze the data.
Right.
And it's even more important now.
Right.
So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've heard that, you know, if an attorney's not taking a case to trial at least three times a year, the insurance companies just know that we're going to offer that attorney or that law firm less on their offers. And what happens is it hurts the client, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. That's why you have to take some cases to trial. You have to be willing to have the courage to go to trial, because anybody can settle a case and take an offer. But it takes a real attorney to face a jury, to take the case to trial, not knowing what's going to happen. But that's sort of the beauty of it, right? The insurance companies have all this data of what they think a case is worth, but the one wild card, they don't know what every jury is going to do. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, a jury can hit them hard. And then if you're willing to take the shot and go to trial, they respect you more. And when they respect you more, you get better results.
And the insurance companies never know either what's going to happen at trial, because we do see some of these monster verdicts come out of trial.
Right.
But if you don't take the case to trial and you settle right before trial every single time, you're never going to have that chance to get maximum value here for your client, right?
That's right. I mean, a settlement, sometimes you can get good settlements that make sense. And I'm not going to say that you should take every case to trial. There are cases where they make a good offer and it makes sense for the client and you should take the offer. But if you don't go the full distance, you know, they won't respect you as much. And, you know, a lot of settlements are a compromise, right? They're not going to pay you 100% of what you may get at trial.
Yep.
They're going to cut it down. So the only way you're going to get full maximum value sometimes, you know, unless there's a policy limitation or something in the amount of coverage that there is there, or assets that could be there, the only way you're going to get 100% maximum value if you go to trial in some cases.
But what is 100% maximum value? Like, how do you determine that as an attorney?
Right, it's you know, that's one of the interesting things. You know from experience, there's no catalog where you say, oh, this injury is worth X or this injury is worth Y. As you know, there's a lot of variables that go into it. Sure, it's the injury, it's the treatment that's had, there's medical bills, are they disabled from work, so you have lost wages that go into it, or lost future earning capacity, or what they would have earned in the future.
So I see,
a human element also, like we talked about, so it all kind of goes into the mix, but do we really know what is 100% maximum value? I guess that would be whatever your jury would put on the case eventually.
That's the only way to know, right?
That's the only way to know.
So I see online all these accident value or injury value or case value calculators,
right,
where you put in the crash or information and maybe some of your injuries.
Right.
Do you think those are accurate at all?
No, not at all. No, and I've heard of some people that don't really do a lot of injury cases that maybe dabble in it a little bit will say, well, the medical bills are $30,000, so you should get double the max of the medical bills, or is it triple the medical bills? I don't know. I forget because I don't go by that.
That was something they did back in the 80s, I think, right?
Yeah. It has no bearing on what a case is worth. I mean, that just is way over simplistic. Really, like we talked about before, it's the effect on the person. You know, how badly did this affect their life? If it didn't affect their life that much, well, maybe the case, you know, has modest value. But if it really affected their life, then you better be forcing that insurance company to give you a fair number. And if they don't, you have a duty to your clients to take it all the way to trial if you have to.
Yeah, so I remember when I was a very young attorney, well over 20 years ago, I always used to wonder, how do you value a case? You know, and how do you come up with a number? How do you know what's fair for your client? how do you know how to negotiate with the insurance companies? But I guess it just takes experience and years of experience and learning and getting better and taking cases to the limit, taking cases right. to trial, so that you feel confident enough to tell that client, this is the settlement range, this is what we should go for, and that's where you start your negotiations, right?
That's right. It all comes with experience, and it's hard to even put a finger on exactly what it all is that comes into play. It's just your experience and what you've done in the past and what you've been able to recover. And then ultimately, I mean, as you know, the client is the boss, right? I mean, if the client, if there's an offer out there that the client is satisfied with and they don't want to take the risk of trial, it's ultimately their decision. If they want to accept it, then we've done our job for them if they're satisfied.
So if you were somebody injured or a loved one of somebody injured looking for an injury attorney or, you know, an accident attorney, what would you look for? What would you recommend a family member to look for when trying to pick out an injury lawyer from all the ones you see on the billboards or all the TV commercials you see? There seems to be thousands of injury lawyers. Right. What do you knowing your 25 years of experience as an injury lawyer, what can you tell our audience about what you should look for in an injury lawyer when picking one out?
Right. Well, I think, first of all, experience and knowledge. And I think that just comes with time.
But what kind of experience? Like, there's attorneys that have been practicing for 50 years who've never seen the inside of a courtroom that call themselves injury lawyers
right.
or miscall themselves trial lawyers, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to call themselves a trial lawyer. But what kind of experience should people be looking for when looking for an injury attorney?
I think one that will take things the distance, will go the extra mile for them, which is the reason why I came here. You know, when I was looking to make a move, because I know you guys have done that, and I have done that, and I know we will fight because we've done that in the past, both of us, and so I thought it was a good combination here.
So one of the mantras of our firm is never stop fighting.
Right.
And you, as a new trial lawyer to our team, what does never stop fighting mean to you?
It means you do anything necessary.
Ethically, know? Right.
Oh, ethically, right. Yeah, I don't mean, I didn't mean anything at all, but.
Well, what do you mean by necessary? Tell us.
Well, you know, these cases take more than smarts and knowledge of the law. You need that, of course, you need that. But beyond that, what separates you from another lawyer? Somebody who's willing to put the work in. Get to know the client, talk to the client, talk to the client's family. Get the story. You have to get the story of the person, right? What were they before? What did they do with themselves? What did they do with their life? And now what are they after this collision? You know, that's really a big factor, something that can be overlooked by people sometimes. You know, and just take whatever depositions you need to take, dig up, keep digging until you get the evidence that'll help your client. You know, put the work in. Like, when I'm getting ready for trial, I'll work the weekends, I'll work Saturday nights, I'll work, it doesn't matter. I'll put as much work in as you need to present the best case you can for that client. Sometimes that's what happens when you go to trial. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 job.
When we get into litigation here, one of the things we really need to do, we feel we need to do, is really get to know our client, because we're the one that has to tell the client's story.
Right.
How do you feel about getting to know your client? Is that something you do on a regular basis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to get to know your client. In fact, a lot of clients have ended up being my friend at the end, and I'm still in contact with them because, you know, we've developed that kind of a bond. And, I mean, if you don't know your client and get to love something about your client, how is a jury going to know your client or get to love them when you present their case?
The jury can pick up on those signs. If you don't believe your client's story, if you don't believe in your client,
right.
if you don't feel your client's telling the truth, I think the jury can pick up on that.
I think so, too, from body language or just how you interact with your client. So you have to know your client before you go to trial, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Todd.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for tuning in to the Injury Pros Podcast. If you found this helpful, do us a favor and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Watch full episodes on YouTube or visit injurypros.com for more information, resources, and real answers after an accident. We're just getting started, and we're glad you're here.